Tomorrow marks the 100th anniversary of one of the greatest workplace tragedies in American history, the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire in New York City. In all, 146 garment workers died, most of them immigrant women. The tragedy led to legislative reforms on a national level and spurred the growth of organized labor. John Kalish reports on the Triangle Fire's lasting cultural legacy.
22 of the Triangle Fire victims are buried in Mount Richmond Cemetery on Staten Island, which the Hebrew Free Burial Association still uses to inter indigent Jews. A small group recites the Jewish Mourner's Prayer on a cold, windy morning. Among the mourners is Michael Hirsch, a researcher who spent 4 years tracking down the descendants of those killed and trying to identify the unknown victims. It all started when he learned one of the victims, a woman named Lizzie Adler, had lived on the same block in the East Village where he's lived for 20 years.
I visit her, all of them, a couple of times a year out here. I take care of their graves. Actually, that's Lizzie right here. This is Lizzie Adler. She was a 24-year-old woman from Bucharest, Romania. She had only been in the country about 16 weeks when she died in the Triangle Fire. There's a few of them like that who were only in the country a few weeks.
Most of the people who perished in the fire were Jewish or Italian-American women. Scores of workers jumped from the 8th and 9th floors of the 10-story building because a door was locked and the elevator broke down. One of the survivors was Pauline Pepe, a 19-year-old woman who lived in Little Italy. A recording of her voice is kept in the archives of the Kiel Center at Cornell School of Industrial and Labor Relations.
We were all crying. My God, I was cold. I had no coat or nothing.
What did you see when you came down?
Old bodies. Oh, it was terrible. How those girls did it. I don't know how they had the courage to throw themselves down. I couldn't do it.
The horrific sight of workers jumping to their deaths played out again in Lower Manhattan almost 90 years later on September 11th, 2001. As he was working on a documentary about Triangle for HBO, researcher Michael Hirsch saw a TV interview with a survivor of the Deepwater Horizon disaster.
It was chilling. He said he was standing on the deck of that thing with another person, and they were trying to decide whether they should die by jumping or burning. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, that's Triangle. Here are two people, two workers, trying to make the same decision that many of these people behind us had to make.
This month, scores of events to commemorate the dead are scheduled around the country, about half of them here in New York. Ruth Sergel is an artist who chalks the names of victims every year on sidewalks outside the buildings where they lived. Sergel has helped organize some of the events and helped create an online archive to mark the tragedy.
A wonderful archivist from Our Lady of Pompeii, which buried 18 victims, has been posting all kinds of documents that have never been digitized before. Documents from the Mass that was read for the victims.
Another church in Greenwich Village is hosting the premiere of a new dramatic oratorio about the Triangle Fire. Librettist Cecilia Rubino and composer Elizabeth Suados watch a rehearsal. Suados lives just a few blocks from the site of the Triangle Fire and says she was drawn to the project because most of the victims were young women and because the owners of the factory were acquitted at a criminal trial.
It's a composer's job to commemorate. It's one of the things we're supposed to do. To love the dead is to love life all that much more, and to value life all that much more.
Ludlow, McDougal, Rivington, and Thompson Street.
Some 400,000 New Yorkers turned out in the pouring rain for the funeral procession. The names of all who died were not known until Michael Hirsch was able to identify the last six Triangle Fire victims by poring over old ethnic newspapers and public records.
Usually when you see accounts of this, there's no faces attached to it. There are a number, immigrant workers, 146 immigrants. This gives them back their identity.
On Friday afternoon, church bells will ring at the time the fire broke out, and for the first time, the names of all 146 victims will be read in front of the building that once housed the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory. For NPR News, I'm John Kalish in New York.
And there's much more about the Triangle Fire and the Centennial Memorials at our website, npr.org.